Please join me in a prayer for understanding of God's word. Living God, help us so to hear your word that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow your way in all faithfulness, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Amen. Today's reading is from Matthew 5, 13 through 16, and I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard, but I will say if I'd known before I left home, I would have brought the message. But it is what it is. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your God, your Father in heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Now, if you've been here the last several weeks, you will recognize that text because that was the text that Wendy used for her testimony. So we're back to that text this morning, but we'll go a little deeper into it. So once upon a time in a faraway land, there was a lighthouse set on a rocky shore. Day and night, the lighthouse helped ships navigate through the water safely. One day, the lighthouse operator became sick and a temporary substitute was put in charge of the lighthouse. While he was there tending the lighthouse, a big storm blew up and sand and branches and all kinds of things were flying around in the wind. The temporary lighthouse keeper got out a piece of canvas and covered up the lantern so it would not get wet or damaged in the storm. And as fate would have it, that night a ship crashed into the rocks and sank. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, we all know that no true lighthouse operator would ever cover up the light. That's what Jesus is teaching us this morning when he says, no one would hide a lamp and light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket. You know, I like a good visual, a good metaphor, salt and light. But first, to remind us where we've been, because last week we started a series on the Sermon on the Mount. Recall that Jesus had gathered a crowd, as often Jesus does, and he sat down, and then his disciples draw near, and Jesus begins to teach them. So as Jesus is teaching through the Sermon on the Mount, the crowds are in the periphery, but Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And he says to them, first, blessed are you. And we remember all the Beatitudes that Jesus taught. We know that we are blessed because we have received the outpouring of God's love and mercy, grace and forgiveness and all the abundance that God has for us. But Jesus reminds us also that blessing also comes when we are poor in spirit, when we recognize our need for God, when we come humbly before God, when we seek after God, we hunger and we thirst, and when we engage in that life of being peacekeepers and those who are merciful. So blessing abounds in the receiving, but also in the giving as well. This week we continue as Jesus teaches his disciples. He says, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. Now the you are here is emphatic. As I said, in our time with the children, us children of God, all of us, Jesus is not saying you will be or go and be. He's making a factual statement. You are salt and you are light. This is who his disciples are. Back in the 1980s, when I was living in Denver, I had signed up to work with elementary school age children in an at-risk school, and I was assigned a fifth grade little boy. And he was smart as a whip. He could solve math problems like you would not believe, but he could not read, or should say had problems reading. And he would get very frustrated, and he'd just finally say, "I'm stupid." Well, one day I said, "Why do you say that?" And his reply to me was, "That's what my uncle always tells me." You know, he dropped out of the program ultimately, and I've wondered what happened to that little guy. But psychologists will tell us that children become what they are named. So tell a child they're worthless and stupid, and they may become that. But tell them they're loved and good and useful, and they grow into that identity. That's what Jesus is doing for us here. He's calling us to grow into an identity that you are salt and you are light. You know, we may think that we are insignificant, but we're not. Jesus' followers can make an incredible difference in the world. I love this story about a man who was walking through a county fair, and he met this tiny little girl who was carrying a gigantic fluff of cotton candy on a stick that was almost as big as she was. And he said to her, "How can a little girl like you eat all of that cotton candy?" And she looked up at him and said, "Well, I'm really bigger on the inside than I am on the outside." That's who we are too. We're bigger and greater than we think we are, because we are salt and we are light. And these are wonderful metaphors for us to ponder, because both of these items are very deeply entrenched in Scripture. Salt is common both in the Old and New Testaments. Now, for us, every day, we keep salt all over our, on our tables, and we use it in our cooking, and it's a very common commodity. But it wasn't so in ancient times. In the Old Testament, it symbolized many things. If you ate salt with someone, it was a sign of friendship and loyalty. In 2 Kings, the community of Jericho approaches the prophet Elisha and tells them that their spring is contaminated. People were getting sick and the land was unproductive. And so Elisha asks for a bowl of salt, which he throws into the spring that purifies the water. In Ezekiel 16, parents are rubbing salt on their newborn children to protect it from diseases. And in throughout the Old Testament, salt is used to accent sacrifices, and it is to season incense in Hebrew worship. As we get to Jesus' day, Roman soldiers were paid in coin and in salt. The word salary comes from a derivative of Latin word for salt. And a worker who did not carry his load wasn't worth his salt. We've heard that statement, haven't we? So salt in Jesus' day was valuable. When Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth," he's telling us we're valuable. And he's also saying we should be salty. And there are many uses in salt. We talked about some of them in the children's time this morning. So here's some to think about, because these are ways that as we play with this metaphor, we can see how we interact with our world, how we become salty. So we know that it softens water. So again, as we see people experiencing hardship in life, how is our life softening their lives through compassion and kindness? The relieving of a sore throat. How many of you have ever gargled salt water to relieve that pain? Because it has a healing effect. And so does salty people. And then purity, as Elijah, when he added that salt into the spring. You know, salty people have a purifying effect. There's a holiness and a goodness that comes from living the life of faith that we express in our world by keeping our thoughts and our speech and our motives pure. And salt is used for preservation. They didn't have refrigerators back then. And so how we preserve our society through our values and morals, a work ethic and honesty and integrity. And then there's pizzazz and flavor. You know, have you ever bought something that's unsalted? or low salt. It's just not the same as something that's salty. And a homegrown tomato are so good, but add a little dash of salt. Christians are supposed to live lives of pizzazz, excitement, vitality. The Christian life is not a life that is dull. Remember when Jesus was born, the angels announced, "Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy." I love Oliver Wendell Holmes. He wrote once, "I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers." Christians ought to be vibrant, joyful, and positive. Why? Because our past is forgiven, our future is secure, and we are filled with the greatest power in the universe, the Holy Spirit. The other thing that salt does is produces thirst. So we eat salty foods like popcorn and peanuts and chips, and we get thirsty. And so as we're living salty lives, we create that thirst in others to wonder what's about our lives is different that they want to know and then seek out Christ for themselves, who is the living water. The other metaphor that we're given is light. Jesus in John chapter 8 says, "I'm the light of the world," and here he's saying, "You are the light of the world." And so we're light as we participate in his identity. And like salt, there are many uses. We know that light dispels darkness. When Robert Louis Stevenson was a boy, he watched an old lamplighter going up and down the streets, lighting all the lamps. And he said to his nurse, "I am watching a man put holes in the darkness." There's a job for us. Would we agree there's some darkness in our world? As we live the light of Christ, we can punch some holes in that. And then there was a little boy that was taken by his mother to see a famous cathedral. And on the windows were pictures of various Christians. And as he was watching the sunbeam shine through the stained glass, he asked his mother, "Who are those people on the windows?" And she said, "They're saints." And the little boy looked and said, "Now I know what a saint is. They are the people who let the light shine through." And the little boy was right. So as we let the light of Christ shine in and through our lives, again, we show Christ and we also dispel darkness. We know that light also illuminates the path that we travel. And so as we live our lives of faith, we lead others to come to Christ as parents lead their children, and we lead one another. And light provides a warning. It shines on danger ahead. And so as we are the light in the world, we also show people loving ways that show warning and offer ways of detour that might take them from following a path that is dangerous. So there is also a quality of this light that's important. It needs to be seen. And so Jesus says, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." How many of you have ever been to Israel? I know there's a few of us who have been there. You know, if you get a chance, you'd understand what Jesus means here, because in Bible days, they didn't have bulldozers like we have today. And so cities were built layer upon layer. So when a city or a society declined, the next one was built on top. And so there's several layers. Some of the cities are like upwards of 10 layers deep, and you can dig down and find different generations in them. They're called a tell. And so Jesus says a city built on a tell or on a hill cannot be hidden. You can't avoid seeing it, and neither should our light. It should be there for everyone to see. And we also should not put it under the bushel basket. Makes me want to sing a song. No, I'm going to let it shine. So lastly, how do we know if we are being salt and light? Jesus tells us, he says, "Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So our joy, our acts and words of kindness, our service, all that we do ought to not point to us, but be a cause for people to ask, "What is so different in your life that you live this way?" So that it points to God. How many of you remember the Susan B. Anthony dollar? It was in circulation for 3 years. Why? Because it looked like the quarter. And it confused people. In the public's mind, a dollar ought to look like a dollar. Because the coin seemed to look like another piece of change, it fell out of circulation. Christians are the same way. We should not live and act as our culture does because it confuses people. In the public's mind, a Christian ought to look and act like a Christian. Otherwise, we look like everyone else and we lose our relevance. So today, as we gather in worship, this building is the salt shaker and the bushel basket, because we are the salt and the light and we are inside it, but soon we'll leave. And the salt will be scattered into the various places we live our lives, and the light will shine in our places of work and play. And then the question will be, will our community be different this week because we are in it? You know, this morning or yesterday morning, I was reading the newspaper, and there are a lot of things I read in the news that I find disturbing. There's lots of war and there's politics and all these things that just make me go crazy. But the article in the paper that really disturbed me to my core was about some teenagers who witnessed a man drowning and stood by and mocked him and laughed. Didn't even call the police. And you know, it's very sad when we look at things like that. That what is it about our society that we're no longer teaching young people compassion and kindness? Because I don't think kids are bad, but somewhere along the way, they're losing that light, that guidance that draws them into that life of compassion, to call 911 at least. And so that's our work in our world. You know, we have young people that are in our influence right here in our church, the preschool and the young teenagers that are with us this morning. It's an opportunity for us to share salt and light, to season their lives and lead them to Christ in a life that is full and rich for them, and also serves the world in which they live. That article broke my heart. You know, as I look at these metaphors today, another one came to me several years ago, and I hung on to it, more of a modern one, is to look at our lives as whether we're a thermometer or a thermostat. The thermometer reflects its environment. It shows what the temperature is. If it's hot outside, then it registers hot, and if it's cold, it registers cold, but it has absolutely no influence on the world around it, but is influenced by its environment. But the thermostat has power. It's the temperature setter. It changes the environment. And so I like that analogy. I challenged a church a few years ago to think of themselves, whether they were a thermometer or a thermostat. We built this whole thing around being changers, being thermostats. Because we're salt and we're light. Jesus says so, so we are. We're salt and we're light. But we need to let ourselves be scattered, let our light shine. And together, we can transform our families, our church, and our community, because yes, because of Christ, we are bigger and greater than we think we are. Thanks be to God. Amen.